We wouldn't be able to keep this archive going without your support. Donate online today at wyxr.org.
WYXR 91.7 FM, Memphis.
Welcome once again to the Thacker Mountain Radio Hour. We're coming to you tonight from Ocean Springs at the Walter Anderson Museum. Thank you. Welcome to the Thacker Mountain Radio Hour. As I mentioned, we're in Ocean Springs, Mississippi at the Walter Anderson Museum right here in downtown Ocean Springs, Mississippi. Full house, great show for y'all tonight. From New Orleans, Louisiana, one of the best songwriters over there, Alex McMurray, is here with his band. You're going to love him. He is great. From the Jackson, Mississippi area, a fine young vocalist, Allie Doerr, is here. Allie. She's going to fill this room up with her beautiful voice. And our author, two-time National Book Award winner, Jesmyn Ward, is here with her latest novel, Let Us Descend. Quite the read we're going to be talking about and hear a little bit from it. But we want to kick it off with our house band. We love them. Y'all please bring them to the stage. It is the Yellow Bushwhackers.
Honey pot, and the pot is hot. Honey in the honey pot, and
Thank you. Yellow Bushwhackers, y'all, one more time for them, please. Ricky Burkhead back there on the drums. That's Slade Lewis on that big upright bass, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bruton helping us out on piano. Paul Tate, our arranger and band leader up front, and the beautiful vocals of Mary Frances Massey. Thank y'all so much. Kicking us off with Queen Bee by Taj Mahal, and bees play a very important part in Jasmine's novel, believe it or not, and we'll be talking about the importance of bees in this book and other things as well. Our next guest, Allie Duer, I believe we had Allie on the show a couple of years ago, and we said, my goodness, this woman can sure sing. And even we said, we've got to have her on the show again and again and again. We recognized how great she was. We had her on in Clinton last year, I think. Yeah, and so we brought her down here to Ocean Springs. Y'all are in for a real treat. Please welcome Allie Duer.
And I'm so grateful to be here in Ocean Springs. This is my first time being here. And you are such a great crowd, great audience. And this next song is Listen. Thank you. Sadness. material things, but take these lessons here. I'm talking to you. You better get your house in order. And a friend once said, don't play around, get it together. Oh, I'm talking to you. Hey, 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 hey. I'm talking to you. Hey, 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 hey. The only mistake that you made, you had expectations. So I'm talking to you. Hey, 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 hey. I'm talking to you. Are you listening? Hey, hey, hey. Oh, hey, 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 hey. Day by day you will see, but take these lessons from me. Thank you. This last song is called Keep Fighting. This song, Keep Fighting, was written for me by a great songwriter. And he's also a playwright out of New York City. And the song came from the film I'm From You. And this was a very positive song to sing. And I hope you guys enjoy it. It's very catchy, but I hope you guys enjoy it and have fun with it. Keep fighting. Take me out, 'cause we are winners and we know. keep on fighting. You gotta keep on fighting. Oh, you gotta keep on fighting. Thank you.
Allie Durr, y'all, let her hear you. Keep fighting. Great job, Allie Durr. Thank you so much, Allie. Beautiful, beautiful. Want to remind you that you are listening to the Thacker Mountain Radio Hour. We are coming to you tonight from the Walter Anderson Museum right here in Ocean Springs, Mississippi, a beautiful town on the Gulf Coast. Also like to thank the good folks at Visit Oxford and the Mississippi Arts Commission for all their support. We'd also like to thank our affiliates. We're heard now at Community Radio in Memphis, WYXR. Community Radio in Chattanooga, WUTC, the stations of Mississippi Public Broadcasting. We love those folks. Yeah. The stations of Alabama Public Radio. And our newest affiliate, y'all, KNCE in Taos, New Mexico. Yeah. True Taos Radio. We thank them so much. Thank you, my man. Appreciate it. Our next guest, y'all, Jesmyn Ward. Boy, her latest novel is called Let Us Descend. Just came out in paperback, so we're excited about that. The book describes a journey of an enslaved girl in the early 1800s, taken from the rice fields of Carolina down to the slave markets of New Orleans and into a Louisiana sugar plantation. NPR said a really, really great quote on this book, the literary equivalent of an open wound from which poetry pours. Man, that's a great line. You know her previous books. Her debut novel was Where the Lion Bleeds. Her other novels, of course, that won the National Book Awards are Sing, Unburied, Sing in 2017, Salvage the Bones in 2011. Also, her memoir, Men We Reaped, was just named one of the best books of the 21st century by New York Times. Y'all please welcome Jesmyn Ward. So glad to have you here.
It's good to be here.
This is your third visit to our show, but our first time down here in Ocean Springs. Delighted to have you here. Mm-hmm. Man, your baby is one smart kid. As soon as I start talking, the baby raises hell. Kid's got a lot going on.
Sorry about that.
As does this book. I cannot recommend it highly enough, even though it is some very tough subject matter. You're going to follow Annis, who is our heroine of this book. And boy, if there's anybody you love rooting for, it is Annis in this book. I saw where you sat down to write a novel about slavery and realized you don't know anything about slavery. So you spent two and a half years reading on the subject, and you finally said, I'm never going to know as much as I think I should. I just got to start writing. What was the research part like for you?
Bewildering, probably. I mean, if I had to do it again, I'd probably do it differently. Like, I would take advantage of, I would take advantage of librarians and, you know, different collections and have some, like, seek out some direction, because basically I didn't have any. I don't know. I started with one book and I can't even remember what the first book was, but I found one book and one book led me to another. And I would just look in the bibliographies of, you know, of the books that I read and find the next book that I would go to. One book I found that was about like resistance and slavery and like maroon communities in the United States specifically. I found that because I would teach at Tulane and there was a flyer on the wall because the author was going to come talk at Tulane about the book. And so I thought, oh, I should check that book out. And so I read that book. So it was really just a process of me sort of stumbling around and from book to book and piecing the history together. Because, like, as you said, I knew nothing about it because I didn't study it at all in school. I didn't take, at least as an undergrad in college, I didn't take many history classes. So I didn't know anything about it, which I think was part of the, which is part of the reason why I wanted to write this book, because I wanted to bring, I wanted to bring that experience and what it must have been like for an enslaved person in that experience. I wanted to bring that to the present and hopefully to readers who would be willing to engage with it, even though I know it's a very difficult subject to engage with.
It truly is. Your writing is so lyrical and so beautiful. The prose is so wonderful. And Annis is such a character that you know she takes you through this book. But yes, it is a pretty brutal ride, but well worth it because of the language and the characters, obviously. And this whole business of history, by the way, and you didn't know anything about slavery, and none of us know enough about it. They need to teach this in our public schools and in all schools. Just saying. Jasmine said in one of her interviews, you know, in high school, I knew more about the ancient Romans than I did about what happened right here in Mississippi and in New Orleans. The idea that they had slave markets in New Orleans and they only have two markers down there and one of them is at the wrong place. We need to fix that. And I think this book will go a long way to that. And we mentioned bees. This book has all sorts of little interesting side facets to it. And one of Annis's things that she loved, and she's being beaten, tortured. They throw her in the hole, which is what you would think, an earthen hole, to punish her for maybe the man of the house made eyes at her. She had nothing to do with it, 4 days in the hole. But the hole is a metaphor, obviously, for this. But that I would think the hole is something maybe you found in your research. You weren't particularly aware of how they punished you.
Right. I mean, I think that I found mention somewhere in one of the books that I read. Of course, I can't remember which book.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, one of the things that sort of surprised me in the research that I did was how inventive they were, you know, in their, I think, responses to what they perceived as transgressions, right, on the part of enslaved people, which sometimes, like, as you said, they weren't even transgressions, you know, they were things that they sort of perceived as that they did wrong, and then they would punish them in these ways, these really terrible ways. And then, of course, when they tried to flee, you know, they would punish them in even more terrible ways, which you talked about earlier, you know, branding them with the fleur-de-lis, just, you know, all kinds of terrible things. But, you know, I think that one of the most important lessons that I learned in the writing of the book, that learning these facts didn't balance the story for me, but I think it helped me to come to a new appreciation, I think, for what enslaved people lived through, and for that history that we don't teach, because, you know, even after, or even through enduring all of those things, you know, and it's in here, you know, I tried to put this into Let Us Descend. You know, enslaved people still had hope. They still resisted in so many different ways. They still chose life. You know, they chose to sort of live and to persevere. And as Annis does with her bees, to find something, even if it's a small thing, that's just theirs, you know, this small thing that, you know, that they, that enables them to feel connection or to feel love, right? Just to feel some sort of light in their life.
And that's where the bees come in. Mm-hmm. They were, she would, in her darkest moments, she would think about her mother, about mm-hmm. her grandmother, who she missed, both of them, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then the bees, mm-hmm. she had bees at her previous home before she was taken away. Mm-hmm. And they brought her comfort to think about these bees. And that was strictly your invention, right? Mm-hmm.
I mean, because I think so often, you know, whenever we sort of talk about enslaved people or we think about enslaved people, and I'm guilty of this too, before I, you know, so at one time in the very beginning, you know, of the writing of this book, after I'd done all that research, right, I was still having trouble writing the beginning of the book and really getting into the story. And then I had one of the things that happened that helped me out is I had a conversation with a writer friend of mine, Ta-Nehisi Coates. And he said, you know, because he was also writing a novel about an enslaved person, and Colson Whitehead had just come out with a novel about an enslaved person. And so I was having this conversation with Ta-Nehisi, and I said, you know, should I not be doing this? Like, I'm very nervous about this. Are there too many books about enslaved people? And so one of the things that he said to me was that he said, you know, there are millions of enslaved people. So that means there are millions of stories to tell about enslaved people, right? And you know, you're going to find that, you know, this person that you're writing about, that they had their own particular desires and wants and needs, right? I mean, they're just a person dealing with or living through horrible circumstances. And so with Annis and with those bees, in a way, I feel like I was like taking his advice and trying to find, you know, like just like a regular sort of, you know, common thing that she could have in her life that would introduce a little light into her life and into her experience. And, you know, even though she doesn't touch them much, like, they're pets to her in a way, you know, she's a beekeeper, so you know, she finds some comfort in them, some light in them.
Man, I was actually at my brother's this morning, and a bee lighted on my arm, and I thought, what a beautiful animal, what a beautiful insect, you know. I got comfort from it. And now from bees, let's talk to about Oprah very quickly, because this crowd is dying to know what a terrible person she is in person. Please tell us what a wacko Oprah is.
No, she's, you know, I was very nervous before meeting her. I was very nervous. And she was one of the most, like, kindest, warmest,
we don't want to hear that, Jasmine. Come on, give us the
that
juice,
I've ever
man.
Met. She, you know, she totally could. She's so famous and she's so wealthy that she could. She could be a total jerk and a terror, but she was not. She was like the exact opposite of that. And I think she could tell that I was super anxious when I met her, and she did everything that she could to sort of put me at ease and just have a very, I don't know, just a you know, to, I don't know, to have a, just a great conversation, you know, with me. And she spoke very sincerely about my work, and, you know, she's read it all, and she says that she loves it. She started tearing up. I didn't know. I mean, what do you do?
She started tearing up.
Yes. She started tearing up. What do you do when Oprah's tearing up?
Suddenly you're having to, I don't know. So let it all out, Oprah. I don't know. What do you do? What do you say? I know it. A few years back, she picked four of Faulkner's books, mm-hmm. The Summer of Faulkner. And I thought, man, only Oprah's got the nerve. And then I got to thinking, what would Faulkner think about Let Us Descend, your novel? And I thought, first of all, he would love it. You know, his era, he would love it. And then I thought, he would probably think the sentences weren't long enough. You know? And speaking of these beautiful sentences, and this is what carries you through this book, y'all. You're thinking, you're about halfway through it, and, you know, a lot of terrible things are happening to Annis, and you're thinking, can I read this? And you keep on because the writing is so great, and you want Annis to come out on the other side. I'm certainly not going to spoil the ending, but do you mind reading just a little taste
for
us?
No, not at all.
Yeah, isn't that right?
Yeah. So I'll just read a little bit from the beginning. The first weapon I ever held was my mother's hand. I was a small child then, soft at the belly. On that night, my mother woke me and led me out to the Carolina woods, deep, deep into the murmuring trees, black with the sun's leaving. The bones in her fingers, blades and sheaths, but I did not know this yet. We walked until we came to a small clearing around a lightning-burnt tree, far from my sire's rambling cream house that sits beyond the rice fields, far from my sire, who is as white as my mother is dark, far from this man who says he owns us, from this man who drives my mother to a black thread in the dim closeness of his kitchen, where she spends most of her waking hours working to feed him and his two paunchy, milk-sallow children. I was bird-boned, my head brushing my mother's shoulder. On that night long ago, my mother knelt in the fractured tree's roots and dug out two long, thin limbs, one with the tip carved like a spear, the other wavy as a snake, clumsily hewn. Take this, my mother said, throwing the crooked limb to me. I whittled it when I was small. I missed it, and the jagged staff clattered to the ground. I picked it up and held it so tight the knobs from her hewing cut, and then my mother brought her own dark limb down. She had never struck me before, not with her hands, not with wood. Pain burned my shoulder, then lanced through the other. This one, she grunted, her voice low under her weapons whistling, was my mama's. Her spear was a black whip in the night. I fell, crawled backward, scrambling under the undergrowth that encircled that ruined midnight room. My mother stalked. My mother spoke aloud as she hunted me in the bush. She told me a story. This our secret, mine and yours. Can't nobody steal this from us. I barely breathed, crouching down further. The wind circled and glanced across the trees. You the granddaughter of a woman warrior. She was married to the Fawn King, given by her daddy because he had so many daughters and he was rich. The king had hundreds of warrior wives. They guarded him, hunted for him, fought for him. She poked the bush above me. The warrior wives was married to the king, but the knife was their husband. The cutlass, they love her. You my child, my mama's child, my mother, the fighter. Her name was Azagwini, but I called her Mama Aza. My mama set her spear down, stood with her palms open. They shone silver. Come, Annis, come out, and I will teach you. Thank you.
Jasmine Ward, y'all, thank you so much. The novel is called Let Us Descend. It is from Scribner's, and it is one of the best books you will ever read, and it will stay with you, and very important reading, and also very beautiful, if something could be said about this subject matter. And I know it had to be a scary thing, Jasmine, for you to tackle this, and you did it beautifully. Thanks so much for writing this book. Very, very important. Thanks for being on Thacker Mountain Radio Hour and saying nice things about Oprah, I guess. If you got to, bless her heart. She's got people reading, and Reese Witherspoon. I mean, who'd have thunk it? All right, from Reese Witherspoon to the Alex McMurray Band, y'all, is quite a leap any way you cut it. But Alex is from New Orleans, and boy, howdy, they got some music over there. He plays in many different bands over there, some of your favorites, like the Tin Men, which is a great band. Yeah, a great trio. Alex over here with us tonight. I was not as familiar with Alex's music as I should be. He's been making music in New Orleans since 1989. Of course, you know, that was a year after I was born, so I'm a young guy. I'm just a pup, of course. Latest album is called The Recent Future. I can vouch for that record. It is a fine album, and listening to it all month in preparation for the show. Previous albums include Lucky One and Road Songs. During the COVID-19 pandemic, Alex, like so many of us, was sheltering in place. So he did a Fireside Chat every Tuesday. Fireside Chat webcast. And he referred to himself, his noon to COVID, as Mr. Tuesday Night. And some of you cable watchers may remember the great show Tremé that was on HBO a few years back. Alex was on Tremé, and it was a really tough gig because they asked him to play himself. That was typecasting, right, Alex? So we're delighted. Again, I cannot recommend The Recent Future more highly. Great album, great songwriter. Y'all please welcome Alex McMurray.
Hi. It's nice to be here. Thanks for being here with us. We come from deepest New Orleans, that humid princess, that fallen flower, that capital city of the free state of dissolution. Yeah. We were coming over here today and we were like, well, what are we going to play, you know? And we were trying to think of some kind of Mississippi-centric things and coming up kind of short. There's a city town in central Mississippi called Winona. Yeah? Yeah. You go through there when you're going to Memphis, right? Well, we do, anyway. And this song, we have a song called Winona. It's not about Winona. The song takes place all over the place, but the one place it ain't is Winona. Shimmy Queen of Arkansas. They know around New Jersey from Tenafly to Totowall. But up in Salt Lake City, where they teach the boys to sing, I hand a man 350 and I see the most wonderful thing. So how you gonna keep me? How you gonna keep me? How you gonna keep me down on the farm when I seen Winona dance? Been mad at Gaskin, but they wasn't really mad at all. They mostly just picked guitars. They got their backs up against the wall. And I went to see old Gay Paree, clone German and cutting hair. And I went on down to the DMV. You know there's many fine people there. So how you gonna keep me? How you gonna keep me? How you gonna keep me? The farm when I see Winona dance. Winona, Winona, you make my dreams come true, and my piglies grow so wiggly since you do that dance you do. Winona, you are my fascination. You just about bust my imagination. Well, you give me just a little, but a little ain't enough. Come on, Winona, don't play so rough. Down at the Family Dollar, where I always go. And when Winona's working, line moves much too slow. So I asked her, what's your secret? What keeps you so serene? She said, I leave it up on the stage. You know, it keeps my conscience clean. So I threw down all my money, my toothpaste and my gin. And I said, won't you come with me? Now we're on the road again. Sometimes we go wrong, and sometimes we go right. But when I'm with Winona, we go dancing every night. So how you gonna keep me? 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 Yeah, how you gonna keep me down on the farm when I see Winona dance? Down on the farm, and I see Winona dance. All right. Winona. Well, I like to say Winona. Why not? When it's quiet, you can hear the drums, but I don't really care. They denied that it was coming, but they got it written down somewhere. When the children talk in code, and the smart ones take to the road, when the skies expand and the spaceships land, would you wait for me? when they sell us on the hue and cry on that fateful day. When they tell us that it's do or die, let's slip away. Let the others have their fight. There's only one more night. Darling, come with me, 'cause soon there'll be nothing left to see. Would you sit by me tonight? Here at the end of the world, you can still see a little bit of light. Here at the end of the world, take our shoes off and dance real slow. Here at the end of the world, while we wait for the fireworks show. Here at the end of the world, I was whistling in the dark, waiting for my world to begin. I had a ticket for the ark when you came busting in. Now that the end is near, we can simply stand right here as the oceans cry and the bullets fly. There's just we two. Would you sit by me tonight? Here at the end of the world, you can still see a little bit of light. Here at the end of the world, take our shoes off and dance real slow. Here at the end of the world, while we wait for the fireworks show. Here at the end of the world, dying, everybody knows why, and then we'll all expire in the water and the fire, and we're lost in the mud, the moon fills with blood, and the trumpet's gonna sing to the ever-living ring, and Jesus come around, says it's all going down, he says it's all on you, tell his baby I'm through, he's gonna wash his hands, but maybe I got plans. Would you sit by me tonight? Here at the end of the world, you can still see a little bit of light. Here at the end of the world, take our shoes off and dance real slow. Here at the end of the world, while we wait for the fireworks show. Here at the end of the world, would you sit by me tonight? Here at the end of the world, you can still see a little bit of light. Here at the end of the take world, take our shoes off and dance real slow. Here at the end of the world, while we wait for the fireworks show. Here at the end of the world.
Thanks. These guys are pretty good, right? This guy's name is Joe Cabral. He's playing the bass tonight, but he also plays the bajo sexto and the saxophone in a great band called the Iguanas that you can see. On the drums is a man named Andre Boren, who he does a lot of things very well. And he plays with a band called Johnny Sketch and the Dirty Notes, I guess, is the Desert Nudes. He's all over the place. All right, we were trying to think of Mississippi-centric things, and wow, that's deep, deep cuts. Deep cuts, man. Well, we're not going to do any of that. It's much too festive. But we were trying to think of Mississippi type stuff. This next song takes place in Biloxi, which is close by. And you know, when I was a lad, I visited Biloxi and I swam in its waters. It being March, I figured I'm gonna get in the water, so I did, you know, and backed up traffic on Highway 90. Like, what is that fool boy doing? What is he doing in there? I'm like, why isn't everybody swimming? It's like, it's beautiful out here. Anyway, this one. Anyway, like I said, Biloxi.
You walk into a room and not a headache. She will linger at the table, and I'm beginning to feel the burn. She will give her hair a toss, so it's to hide that so face. She's the woman I love, but to me, she's the only woman in the place. She will stroll her strange sashay, and nobody gives a damn. She will stroll her ungainly PA, she dug up in a garbage can. Concierge, a little something, maybe get some sort of sign that the woman I love can take her place in the VIP line. 'Cause the woman I love ain't nothing special, but that's just fine with me. 'Cause she's the only one who'll have me. And though the other guys might scorn her, in my dreams I adorn her. I've got it so bad, it makes me sick. She's the woman I love. Yeah, the woman I love. Well, if you can see us with our clothes off, man, oh man, it ain't nothing nice. And they say that love's a gamble, and I'm more than willing to roll those dice. And now we're leaving the casino, the IP casino, stretched out in that fresh, cool, clean Biloxi, yeah, yeah. When I'm with a woman I love, man, I could be just about anywhere. 'Cause a woman I love ain't nothing special, but that's just fine with me. 'Cause she's the only one who'll have me. And though the other guys might scorn her, in my dreams I adorn her. I got it so bad, it makes me sick. She's the woman I love. Oh, the woman I love. Oh, the woman I love. Oh, the woman I love.
Oh, kids are gone, the dog is dead, and the house is just about paid off. God damn it. I'm brown and cold of my many, many sins. Sometimes even I can't understand. And someday soon she's gonna go, I know, and I know it just might be tomorrow. But you can bet your last dollar, my friends, where she goes, I'm gonna follow. Oh, that's right, cause the woman I love ain't nothing special. That's just fine with me. She's the only one who'll have me. And though the other guys might scorn her, in my dreams I adore her. I've got it sober. Called The Woman I Love.
Good job, man. Alex McMurray Band, y'all. One more time for them. New Orleans. One more time for all our guests, if you don't mind. Allie Duer, the great Allie Duer. Alex McMurray Band, y'all. Jesmyn Ward. Let Us Descend. You need this book. If you're up in the Oxford area this fall, we encourage you to stop by the Powerhouse Arts Center every Thursday evening at 6 p.m. where we'll be recording the show. We got about 12 shows lined up this fall. So come up to Oxford and see us. But if you can't make it, please tune us in on any of those wonderful stations I mentioned earlier. And we will just keep on keeping on. Ocean Springs, we love y'all. This is one of our favorite gigs of the year. Why wouldn't it be? Beautiful room, great crowd, great show. Thank y'all for having us. We hope we invite us back next year. In the meantime, we'll see you on the radio. Boys and girls. special thanks to the R&B Fader Charitable Foundation for sponsoring our trip to Ocean Springs. The Thacker Mountain Radio Hour's executive director is Lucy Gaines. Our production director is Tim Lee. Our broadcast and post-production engineer is Jeffrey Reed. Our front-of-house engineer is Blake Gardner.
Programming supported by Girl from the North Country, playing October 8th through the 13th at the Orpheum Theater. This new musical, written and directed by Connor McPherson, reimagines the songs of Bob Dylan. More information at orpheum-memphis.com.
Support for WYXR, including our 2024 stereo sessions, comes from Duncan Williams Asset Management, specializing in financial management for individual investors, businesses, nonprofits, and foundations. More information at dwassetmgmt.com.
Support for WYXR, including our 2024 Stereo Session series, comes from the Memphis Music Hall of Fame, honoring Memphis icons like Sid Selvage and many others whose enduring contributions to music are still inspiring and influencing people worldwide. The 2024 Memphis Music Hall of Fame ceremony will be held Friday, September 27th at the Cannon Center for the Performing Arts, honoring James Carr, The Gentrys, Jazzy Faye, Wicked Wilson Pickett, and more. More information at Memphis Music Hall of Fame.com.
Hi, this is Kevin Morby. I'm standing to